1 Peter chapter 3 this evening. Thank you for being here. And again, thank you for being in your place on a Wednesday night. And do pray for those that are traveling. I know we do have several that are traveling. We want to lift them up in prayer. Again, Randy Bayer, pray for his family. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know that I have ever seen a family that has gone through so much at one time. So you pray for his family, others that have lost loved ones. I tell you, it's a joyous time, but for those that have lost loved ones, especially that first Christmas and that first Thanksgiving, that first, it's difficult. And so you pray for them, lift them up in prayer. I know they'd appreciate that. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's stand together. And as we respect the reading of the Word of God tonight, 1 Peter chapter number 3, I'm going to go ahead and forewarn you that the next couple messages, well, the last three hadn't been real easy to swallow. The next two probably won't. But please understand, I'm not going to preach tonight angry. I'm not going to preach out of an attitude of, you know, trying to hurt you. I'm just going to give you the Word of God, okay? And if that offends you, then you take it up with the author. I'm not the author. I'm just reading it, all right? Amen. That ought to be good, brother. I'm glad I got Brother Jimmy and Brother Fry here with me tonight. Praise the Lord. Maybe they'll say amen for me. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice that first word, likewise. So we got to look at chapter 2, and we realize that much of chapter 2, toward the end, the last few weeks, we've been talking about submission. We've been talking about subjection. And the Bible said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. You know what? That doesn't mean you're in subjection to somebody else's husband. You're subjection to your own husband. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Notice that, the Bible said, in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, or ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. Its instructing purpose tonight is not to be a hindrance to us, but to be a help to us tonight. And Lord, I want to be a help to your people. So just give me the words to say. Give us open minds, receptive hearts. And Lord, may we understand that what the Word of God says is always true. I thank you again for every person here and for those traveling. We want to lift them up to you. For those, again, as we mentioned, that are going through a time of grieving, we want to lift them up. Just, God, comfort them in this time of need. And so help us tonight. We'll love you and we'll thank you. Be with our young people, our teens, as they travel to their retreat later tonight. Give them traveling mercy. Be with Brother Paul as he drives and just give them safety. And Lord, for everything accomplished, we'll thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I want to give you the next few weeks. We've talked about subjection, how we're government powers in our life. We're to be in subjection to those who have the rule over us when it comes to our job and our occupation. And now we see that God has an order in the home. Now, as I mentioned last couple weeks, subjection is not an ugly word. It's not slavery. It is the fact that you are putting yourself under the authority of another. And the Bible says here in verse 1, likewise. And so just as we're to reverence and respect our government, we're to respect those we work with, we have to realize that God has an order for the home. Now, it's not popular in our society today. It's not what people want to hear. It's really not, let's be honest, Brother Johnny, it's not always what we like. It's not what feels good sometimes. It's not what our flesh thinks we ought to do. And sometimes people say, well, my heart doesn't tell me to do that. But we have to realize this tonight, that your heart can lead you wrong. Amen? And the Word of God is true. And if we believe that the Word of God is true, then we have to realize God knows best for what's for us. And He knows what's best for the home. He knows what's best for the church. He knows what's best for our nation. He knows what's best for me. Amen? And so if we believe that and we rest in that, then no matter what we think or what this world thinks, we realize that God's ways are always the right way. So our testimony for Christ is not only at our job or in the church, but also in the home. And each member of the home has their responsibility. And when these roles are blurred, there's chaos. When those roles are clear, then there's order. And you know what's amazing to me? Oftentimes, Brother Fry will talk about the kids in the home, say, well, you know, the kids shouldn't rule the home, and they should listen, and they should do what they're told, and that's true. But then we look at the upper part of the home, and well, it doesn't matter if that's in chaos, as long as the kids are sitting in church and not doodling and not throwing stuff at each other, then we think everything's right. But friend, may I say that you will never do better than God's order. In the church, there's order. In the church, God has the pastor as the under-shepherd. Listen, you're not ever going to have a church that's going to do anything for God if you got 17 pastors and 45 deacons that run the place. The fact is that God chooses a man, and that man is to follow God, and as long as he is following God, then the church is supposed to help that man accomplish God's will for their life. And so when we do it God's way, then there is success and there's order. When we do it our way, there's chaos. And my friend, there's also always things that come out of it that are not spiritual and not positive. So we start with the wife's role as the heart of the home. Now I want to say this, ladies, if it were not for you, I'll be honest with you, our homes would be in turmoil. Our homes would be in chaos. Our homes would be destroyed. Because I just got to be honest with you, God has created man and woman different. Now, I know we live in a society where you can't say that, but we don't even know what bathrooms to go in anymore. And we don't know if you're a he, she, pronoun, whatever you are. But my friend, God's order does not change. And God created us, man and woman, different. Say amen right there. Doesn't mean one's better than the other. It doesn't mean one's stronger than the other. It is that God has different roles. Brother Jimmy and I'm the pastor. He's the associate pastor. I'm not better than him. He's not better than me, but we do different things. And Brother Fry is a greater preacher than I'll ever be, but he realizes that God has called him to be an evangelist. Brother Beck is not the pastor of this church. God has called him to do something different. Listen, Brother Fry, it's not higher than me, and I'm not higher than him, and we're not higher than Brother Beck, and Brother Beck's not higher than Brother Jimmy. It's just God has us doing different things for his glory. That's good preaching. And if we look at things that way in the home, that it's not above who's the boss, it is what God wants us to do to accomplish his will. And when you stand before God, God doesn't really care if you wore the pants in the family, so to speak, unless you're the husband. And you say, well, I want to be the leader. You know what comes with leader? Responsibility. You know what comes with leader? Standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and giving an account. So before you jump in and say, I want to, you better realize that with that always comes responsibility. So we start with the wife's role as the heart of the home. Listen, it's amazing, daddies. Sometimes we're so hard and cold, we live by the letter of the law, and our wives come in and clean our mess up. Say amen right there. Because God created them with a sensitivity a lot of times that we don't have. And I want to say this, fellas. While this won't be popular either. Somebody will probably write in, get upset with me. But I don't have a feminine side to me, see? And sometimes I say, well, touch in your feminine side. I don't have one. That's not how God created us, see? He created women with a feminine side, and he created men with a masculine side. And so I don't have a feminine side, and my wife doesn't have a masculine side. And if we'll keep some things in order, things will go a whole lot smoother. Say amen, good preaching. So we have to realize tonight that God has created us different. We good? We clear with that? So tonight we're going to deal with the ladies. Next time we'll deal with the men. And I know what's going to happen. Every lady, you're going to tell everybody you work with, say, have your husband at church Wednesday night. Preacher's going to nail him to the wall. Amen. That'll be fine. Have him here. We'll get him. Amen. So three things we'll deal with in this scripture. Number one, that wife as the heart of the home is her attitude. You know what? You know what could change a lot of homes and a lot of churches is just attitude adjustment. This is going well. Praise the Lord. Notice what the Bible said in verse 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So that word subjection means submission, and we know that in order to submit to something, you have to willingly put yourself under the authority of something, right? So the Bible's telling us here it has to do with our attitude. It's not that you're inferior. It is your attitude towards the Word of God. If your attitude towards the Word of God, listen, can I be straight with y'all tonight? There's some things in this book my flesh doesn't like. There's some things in this book my heart doesn't like, amen? I mean, my mind doesn't like. There's some things this Bible tells me to do or not do, and I'm going, I don't really like that. But if I want to be obedient to the Word of God, then it's not whether I like it or not, it's just simply whether I do it. And so here, the attitude is the requirement, amen? The Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. Now, as you and I have already established throughout Scripture, that is not a question mark there. That's not a if you want to. That's what God's telling us to do. And so it is a requirement. It is not a popular doctrine because women are assuming an even more prominent role in society. I realize that. You know what society has done to us? It's making it almost impossible to live without two people working in a home. Now, I'm not condoning. I'm just telling you. I mean, listen, you've got to pay for your own health care. You got all these bills. And so what's happened is the wife, most of them don't stay at home anymore. I'm not critical. I'm just telling you like it is. Am I right? And so what happens is the wife has to go out and work, and the kids come home after school, and there's nobody there. And what happens is they put in front of a TV set or whatever it is, and they don't have that heart of the home there to encourage them. They don't have that heart of the home there to help raise them. And so we've got this divided role between men and women. I'm good. So it comes down to this. Do we believe the Bible is the Word of God? Well, if we do, then we have to do what the Bible tells us to do. Amen? And so as we look at that, then in his perfect wisdom and love, he tells the wife to submit to the husband. Man's headship is taught throughout Scripture. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you know what? You know why Eve was tempted and fell? Because she assumed a role that God did not put her in. God did not put her in the role to step away from the husband. And if she was with the husband, and by the way, if the husband was looking after his wife, amen, then all of a sudden he would be there to help guide that. So we look at this, and man's headship is taught throughout Scripture. And when Satan tempted Eve, he persuaded her to assert her independence and take on the leadership role. Listen, God's way is perfect. You can't, I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what Dr. Phil says. What I care about is what God says. And when God says it, you and I just need to say, well, I don't understand it, but that's God's plan. And if it's God's plan, it has to be right. Say amen right there. So as we see this, we see that it is a requirement. But you say, well, preacher, what if he's not a godly leader? Well, look at this. God knew this, right? So he says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now we realize, you know, that conversation means lifestyle, means behavior. And so the Lord's telling us here that every husband is, even in this day when Peter was writing this, every husband was not saved. Many times, if it weren't, can I be straight, fellas? If it weren't for the ladies in our independent King James Bible believing Baptist churches, the church would fall because the women take up the mantle a lot of times what the men ought to be doing. And so here, he's writing and he's saying, listen, I know there's some of you ladies out there, your husbands aren't a Christian, they're not saved, they're not living like they should, they may not be the best example, they may not, they may just time out be a bum. But saying this, he's saying the best you can, submit to him, because in your conversation or your behavior, you may be able to win him to Christ. Are you ready for this? That means that you have to put your rights and your desires, and oftentimes, now I ain't talking about an abusive relationship. I'm talking about the guy just don't want to go to church. He doesn't love the Lord. He's just not just a, he's just not a godly figure. You with me? And he's the Bible's saying, listen, by your behavior, you may win him to Christ. You say, well, that ain't fair. I don't want to stay in a relationship like that. Well, what if you're supposed to? What if God has a plan for you? What if God uses you to win him to Christ and all of a sudden he's the best husband in Davidson County? It ain't going to happen. You don't know this guy. No, but God does. So it means God has a blueprint for marriage. And God's blueprint's right. It can be done with the help of God. Listen, I'm thankful there. Throughout my 47 years of living, I've known a lot of ladies that have come to church to help their husband. And sometimes later on in life, Brother Chris, I've seen their husbands get saved and be one of the best Christians you've ever seen. And boy, they get under conviction when their wife gets up and goes on the church on Sunday morning, gets the kids ready. Oh, I'd go to church, but my husband won't get up. Well, guess what? If you know it's right to go to church, get up and go to church and leave him at home, and you keep going enough, and the Holy Ghost of God's going to deal with his heart, and he's going to feel convicted, and hopefully he'll come to church and get saved. Good preaching. So what I'm saying, folks, is God has a plan. So the requirement is that we are to, ladies, be in subjection to your husband. Well, what if he's not the husband he ought to be? Tell you how you fix that. You ready? You pray for him. You're not going to change him, but God can. And if you change him for a while and the heart is not changed, guess what's going to happen? He's going to revert back to what he was. So the best thing you can do is pray for him. Young ladies, I'm just going to help you. Stop being so quick to find you a boy. Stop being a young man. Quit being so quick to find you a girl. Find God's, because I'll run you around this room. And I'll guarantee you there's testimony after testimony. So I didn't pray about it. I didn't ask God. I went off what I thought. I went off what I thought was love. And I messed up. You better find God's will for your life. And you know how, you ready for this? You know how not to be the Christian wife and not to have a Christian husband? Marry a Christian. Well, preacher, what if they're not out there? You just wait. God's got one for you. If the Bible said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, then if they're not a Christian, you ought not be dating them. But it might change them. But they might change you. Am I on? Amen. So if he's not a godly leader like he should be, then you live for God, you obey the word of God, and you go on to church, and you read your Bible, and you pray, and you live right before him, and I promise you this, the Holy Spirit of God's going to deal with his heart. Now, I ain't saying he's necessarily going to get saved, but the Holy Spirit's going to deal with him. That's good preaching. Say amen. So you see the requirement, but number two, you see the reason. The Bible said, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. So that conversation, chaste conversation, means your pure lifestyle. And coupled with respect. That word fear doesn't mean that you are afraid of him. It means you respect him. You say, well, there's nothing there to respect. Well, he's the head of the home. He's the man of the house. Respect him. Show him respect. Show him that he's not a bum. Listen, as you say, he's dumb as a rock, preacher. But sometimes he'll have a good idea. I'd say all the time. Sometimes he'll have a good idea. You ought to make much of that idea. You want him to have more good ideas? When he has a good idea, say, hey, honey, that was a pretty good idea. Instead of, I can't believe he finally did it. He finally came up with something. Hallelujah. Respect. By the way, that ought to bleed out not only to the home, that ought to bleed out to the church, that ought to bleed out to your job. You know what would happen if we just respect each other? You say, well, I'm not going to respect people that don't respect me. I deserve respect. You know what the Bible says? Give and it shall be given to you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So when we look at this, we see the reason for the unbelieving husband, the best advertisement for Jesus, is that the wife models Christ. they may be won by her lifestyle. So it deals with her attitude in verse 1 and 2. Then verse 3 and 4, it deals with her attire. The Bible said, "Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So when we look at this, we see verses 3 and 4, it deals with her attire. You say, "Well, I knew it's coming, preacher." Well, you got your wish. Here it is. So he gives us two things. First of all, what is discouraged? Do you realize tonight, and I want to say this before I even say anything about it. I don't think you got to dress like some homeless person. I don't think, ladies, you got to wear a burlap sack to church to be modest. You don't. You can dress nice. But don't dress like the world. You can dress nice. Don't dress like the world. Well, this is what's popular now. Well, guess what? Marijuana's popular now. Does it make it all right to smoke it? Pornography's popular now. Does it make it all right to look at it? Rock music is still popular, but we're not going to condone that. What I'm saying, it's all right to look nice, but you don't have to look like the world. Good preaching. So true beauty is not in elaborate adorning. You know, here's what he's saying. You can buy fake beauty. You can. You can buy clothes. You can buy jewelry. You can buy fingernails. You can buy eyeballs. You can buy hair. Do you realize that? You can buy hair. You don't like hair? You can go buy some and add to what you got. You can buy all that stuff. You can buy shoes and jewelry and watches and clothes and hair and eyebrows and eyelashes, and you can put stuff in your face. But you know what the Bible's talking about, where the true beauty is? Right here. Somebody loves God. Nothing wrong with looking nice. You ought to give God your best, ladies and men. I want to say this. You know, for years, Brother Fry, we preached against women, telling them they ought to be modest, but we don't say much to the men. Can I just give you this tonight? Here's three things we all should look for in the way we dress. Number one, it ought to be distinctive. Men ought to dress like men. Women ought to dress like women. Number two, it ought to be modest. The word modest means this: not to draw attention to oneself. Ladies, you ought to cover up. It ought to be long enough, high enough, shouldn't be tight. I didn't say you had to wear a sack in here. But you know why? Because a man ought to be wanting to know what's going on in here, not everywhere else. So it ought to be distinctive. It ought to be modest. It ought to be proper. What I mean by that, you know what? When you come to church, ladies, fellas, we ought to give God our best. You ought to give God your best. Best you got is a suit, you ought to wear a suit. Best you got is a pair of blue jeans, you ought to wear a pair of blue jeans. But let's be honest. We'll go out and spend $100. I won't. But spend $100 on a pair of tore-up blue jeans. And say, well, God don't care what I wear. Sure he does. You look in the Old Testament, when those priests came into the Holy of Holies, they had a certain garment they had to wear, and if they didn't wear it, God would kill them. They didn't wear their everyday clothes into the Holy of Holies. They wore what was proper. Amen? So I'm not going to wear a suit, Brother Fry. If I'm out cutting wood, I'm not going to wear a suit. But if I'm going to church, I ain't going to wear what I'd wear to cut wood. Well, you know what, preacher? That's why people don't like churches like ours, because it's so strict. All right. Well, I'll debunk that for you. We got a bunch of kids in here work Chick-fil-A. Tell you what you do. Monday morning, you go in there and you wear a McDonald's uniform to Chick-fil-A. Or, tell you what, you say, well, that's a little extreme, preacher. That's fine. You go into one of these restaurants that says on the door, it says this, Brother Fry, no shirt, No shoes, what? No service. And you go in there barefooted and take your shirt off, fellas. See what happens. They're going to say, sir, we can't serve you in here. And you know what you'll do? You'll say, well, if I'm going to eat here, I've got to do it their way. All of a sudden, you go to church and say, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to dress modest. We're going to wear our best to church. That's a legalistic church. I ain't going to legal. God doesn't care what I wear. Well, why doesn't he? God don't care what you wear. Won't you wear a bikini in here? God doesn't care what you wear, fellas. Won't you wear your swimming trunks in here? Because you say, well, that ain't right. So if everybody does what they think's right in their own eyes, guess what you got? Chaos. Now, I'm going to say this. I ain't the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to come to your house, tell you what you wear in your house. But you know what we ought to do? We ought to respect the house of God. So, ladies, when you look, say, well, I'm going to wear this because it's popular. Well, when you do that, you know what you're doing? You're saying, God, I don't care what you got to say. I care what Hollywood's got to say. I care what New York's got to say. So it discourages us not from dressing nice, but we're to put more attention on what's going on inside. Give you an example. You ready? We'll come to church. We'll spend hours. I won't. But some folks will spend hours getting ready for church, but they've never hadn't bowed their head one time to pray. Hadn't opened their Bible one time to read the Word of God before they come to church. But they're going to... Or, ready, they'll get up every day, spend hours getting ready for work, but never pray, never open their Bible. What the Bible says, we need to focus more on what's going on here. That's where beauty comes. Because guess what's going to happen? Some point in time, you're going to get older, ladies, fellas. You're not going to retain your youthful beauty. And you can put all the makeup you want on, but you're still going to have some wrinkles. But you can still be beautiful in here. You can still show people what a godly woman's supposed to look like and act like. And that's what it discourages. The Bible discourages that outward adorning being the most important thing. Didn't say you couldn't dress nice. Didn't say you couldn't. I'm not one of these guys that say, oh, ladies, you ought not wear any makeup. Some people don't need to wear quite as much. Amen. Fellas, listen, don't you get on there. So a preacher said, you deal with your own woman. I don't get me in the middle of it. Amen. You deal with your own wife. I don't get me in the middle of it. But we see what's discouraged is a woman must not rely on the outward adornment as a substitute for Christian character. During prayer, I'm going to sneak out, and you can handle it, Brother Jimmy. So we see what not only what is discouraged, but in verse 4, we see what is desirable. The Bible said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So what is desirable is a true heart. I didn't marry my wife because she wore the latest fashion. Matter of fact, I want to tell you this. If you know her and you want to take her shopping, you know where you're going? Goodwill. She don't care not one thing about Belk's or Macy's. If you go shopping with her, she's going to say, well, let's go find a GW boutique. We went to Colorado. We went to every stinking Goodwill and thrift shop. And fellas, if you've ever been, guess what? They got like two shirts in your size. And they're from 1978, and they got collars all the way out here. And she comes out and has a buggy full of stuff and looks like she just come off. You don't have to go out there and do all that. But the fact is, what's desirable is a true heart, a woman that loves God. That's what it's getting to. A woman that loves God. You're more than what you put on here, you're what's it going on in here. And we ought to spend more time developing this than we do this. Amen? And so that's what the Bible's telling us. A true heart and a true humility is the beauty of a Christian woman. So we see what is desirable in that Christian woman. That meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, is of great price. That ought to be enough. You say, well, I don't feel like, but look what the Bible said. In the sight of God is great price. Valuable. When you stand before God, God's going to say, well done, well done, well done. That should be what we're after. Well done. So then, verse 5 and 6, you see her attainment. Number 3, her attainment. The Bible said in verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I know you're sitting right now, whoa! I can see your head. I can see it. I ain't calling him that. You're missing the principle. You're missing the principle. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. All right, so what are we saying? Well, look at this in verse 5. We're looking at what is historic. Isn't it good the Bible gives us examples on how we're to live? Ladies, I'm telling you, next week you can shout her down, all right? Next week you can lay her out, amen? The Bible said, after this manner in the old time, the holy women. That ought to be all we had to look in the Old Testament. Look at how the holy women of God lived, what they did. And here's a couple I'll share with you. Women like Jochebed, who shielded Moses from the attack of the enemy. She didn't care about anything else. She wanted the will of God in her life. She knew that God had given her a child that was going to do something great for God. Listen, God's will for your life ought to be more important than anything else. You look at women like Abigail, who displayed a meek and quiet spirit as she prayed for God's will. She said, hey, give me a son, I'll give him back to you. It's not about your will, it's about the will of God. And these attributes model the spirit of the Lord, because as you see them, you see what the Lord's going to look like. That meek and quiet spirit, that desire to see the will of God, that desire as Jochebed, her desire was to save her son. My friend, I'm glad that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So when we have that meek and quiet spirit, when we're in subjection to those that are supposed to be over us, then you know what we're doing? We're mirroring Christ. And then in verse 6, you see what is honorable. The Bible said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well. You know what you see in Abraham's life? I was thinking this a little bit about Miss Beck, because she don't like snow. But you know what she's doing? She's following her husband as he follows God. I mean, you think about Miss Polly jumping in that RV when she's able to, riding down the road with Brother Fry. There's probably a side of her, Brother Fry, that would love just sitting at that house on Fairview. But she knows that she's to follow him as he follows God. And we see the example of Sarah, who when Abraham left his country, you know what she did? She went with him. It's that consistent godly behavior. It's that living for God every single day. It is not my will but thine be done, Lord, is what is honorable. Without argument, she followed Abraham even to Egypt. Can't you just kind of hear the conversation? Abraham said, hey, I don't see any way out of this. We're going to go to Egypt. Okay, that's what you think we'll do. And she's probably in the back room going, now, Lord, this may be one of his most harebrained ideas ever, going to Egypt. But I'm going to follow him because you told me to. And I'm going to depend on you to keep us safe. Then they get to Egypt. And you think, oh, Abraham, one of the heroes of the faith, when he got there and they started looking at his wife. You think he'd step up and say, hey, you boys keep your eyes off my wife. I'm gonna take all of you out. And you know what he did? She's my sister. So it may not have been so much Abraham was such a hero of the faith. It may have been he had a praying wife that kept him out of a lot of mess. One thing I've learned, fellas, about being a pastor, it don't always have to be my way. Brother Jimmy, he tells me something, I may look and say, I don't know if that's going to work. But if I pray about it and say, God says, hey, Brother Jimmy's idea is better than yours. As the leader, I need to have enough sense to say, okay, God, we'll go with his idea. Brother Paul with the media, he'll say, hey, we need this. I know this. I don't have enough sense to know what we need in the media. As long as they keep the words on the screen and the voice coming through the speakers, I don't have to know how they make the sausage. But if he says, hey, we need this, we'll say, okay. Brother Paul said we need it. We probably need it. Ladies, you may be a whole lot more spiritual than your husband. You with me? You may pray more than he does. You may study your Bible. You may come to church more than he does. But maybe you can help make him more spiritual by obeying God. This isn't about weakness. This is about obedience and following God. I didn't preach this tonight to straighten you ladies out. I didn't preach it tonight to hurt you. I preached tonight because it was the next message in the line. So if you want to get upset, you get mad at God. But we live in a day where stuff like this isn't preached anymore. Preachers, Brother Beck, are afraid to say anything because it make half the congregation mad. But if we're going to preach the whole counsel of God, we've got to preach it. Fellas, next week when I preach to you, you ought to take it just as well as these ladies have today and say, you know what? It may not feel good. It may not be what I think. It may not be what I want to hear. But if that's what God told me through his word, maybe I need to do it. You know what would be great, fellas? Maybe what we need to do as a leading husband is pray for our wives. Because here's the thing. I don't think we realize how much pressure the world puts on them. I mean, can we be honest? The world really don't care what we look like. You can be ugly as a mud fence, and people say, you know, that guy, he's smart, he's successful, he's sharp. But you let a lady, if she doesn't dress like the world and act like the world, you know what the world says? Well, she's homely. You know, she's not worth much. You let a woman choose to stay home and raise her children, all of a sudden, oh, she's weak. You let her vote for the people they don't think she ought to vote for, and all of a sudden, her husband told her what to do. Maybe she just had enough sense. Our women, our wives, the ladies that are trying to follow God are under much more pressure than we are. You know what would be a good idea, fella? During the invitation, maybe we ought to be on the altar. Because I know, I'll tell you what, I hope all the ladies get on the altar. Maybe we need to be on the altar. Maybe we ought to be praying for them as they've been praying for us. Ladies, I want to say thank you. Because I'll tell you this, we got some of the best Christian ladies I know of. And say you're perfect. But I appreciate you. And fellas, we ought to lift them up. We ought to help them be what God wants them to be. Let's stand together.